All right, thank you. I gave you a paper. Like I said before, you can follow along in your Bible if you want to, but I think everything you need for tonight is on the paper. We're going to go back to Proverbs. This week I've had opportunity to be thinking of matters of the hereafter. Tuesday I was here for a day's work. Part of my work that day was to write the message for Irma Higginbotham's funeral. And I set up my computer, I went across the way to get the mail, and in the mail there was a letter from a childhood friend of mine from summer camp. So we met when we were 11. He lives in North Carolina. I don't think I've seen him face-to-face for at least 15 years. So he must have tracked me down on the internet somehow, found out that, you know, I work at church here, sent a letter to the church. He's the only person in the world, I think, that I share memories of that summer camp with. Okay, he's the same age as me. You know, I've been there with my family. We went there 3 or 4 years ago, and I showed them around, and I kind of reminisced a little bit, but they weren't part of my life then. Only this person, Mark, remembers it with me, remembers it the way that I remember it. He sends this letter saying he had to retire from his job 3 years ago. He's the same age as me, 48. He had to retire from his job 3 years ago because he had stage 4 lymphoma. He's been through chemotherapy. Chemotherapy can only do so much, you know. He's on some sort of maintenance therapy every other month for 2 years. But basically, he's looking at the end of his life, okay, at age 48. Like I said, you know, I don't know how to express, you know, maybe you've been to a place where, you know, you've been back to a place where you grew up, and, you know, the sights and the smells and that sort of thing comes back to you, and, you know, you can't really share that with anybody. You know, I remember shooting a bow and arrow in the archery glen, and I remember they used to make frozen sodas in the snack bar. You go get a cup, it's a solid, you know, ice cube of soda, you know, have one of those after dinner. And just the way the place felt and the formative influence it was. He taught me how to play gin rummy. Okay, I remember him giving me a golf lesson because his family was golfers and I didn't know anything. Okay, so he is basically winding down his days, and he's writing letters to all of the, you know, important people that in your life that you would do if you knew that your days were numbered, or that you know. If I knew this was coming, you know, here's what I would do. So he's doing that. So I'm reading his letter. You know, it's the first I've heard of him for years. And it's, like I said, it's just as I'm about to sit down at my computer and write something for Irma's funeral. So Irma was 92. Mark is 48. And like I said, you know, this has been on my mind this week, the hereafter. And how the here and now is so determinative of what's to come hereafter. Old age isn't promised. The scripture says, even youths shall faint and grow weary, and young men shall be exhausted and fall. In the book of Job it says, a man's bones are full of youthful vigor, but it will lie down with him in the dust. Ecclesiastes says, there is no discharge from that war. Okay, sooner or later, you have to come to your last day. And so we remember the at the end of Ecclesiastes, the preacher's conclusion of the matter. Right? What's the conclusion of the matter? Fear God and keep his commandments. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come when you say, I have no pleasure in them. I have no pleasure in my days. Okay. This is why the scripture says, take heed to your way, right? Your way is all important. Okay, take heed to your way. How can a young man keep his way? This is Psalm 119:9. Okay, how can a young man keep his way? By taking heed to his way according to your word, right? So your path, your way, right? There is a right way, and we're not supposed to be straying off the way. There's wrong ways. You know how the Lord himself said there's a narrow way that leads to life, right? There's a broad road that leads to destruction. Bible uses the language of a person's walk, right? For that, just that reason, because you walk along a way, you have to pay heed to where your feet are going. That's the domain of wisdom literature, okay? To instruct us in the way, right? Because there is a hereafter. There is something at the end of each of the ways, okay? So much of proverb, I mean, you can open up to any random proverb. Chances are it deals with outcomes. It deals with the future, deals with consequences. And we talk about having the freedom to choose, right? You have the freedom to choose things in life, but you don't have the freedom to choose the consequences, right? The outcome depends on the choice of the way. So, you know, a person can choose, sure, you can choose to be sexually promiscuous, but you can't choose the consequences, right? You can't choose the heartache or the disease, or the pregnancy, the reputation, the depression, right? You can't choose whether or not to have those. That's just part of the path. A person can choose to make their whole life a pursuit of money and career, but you can't choose the outcome. Often there's a trade-off with your family, right? Money can't save you from death. Money's no substitute for a loving home. Okay, you can choose to have a life of idle play and games, but you can't choose the consequences. Okay, when the party's over, you're going to be left with emptiness, right? So here's the first one for tonight. There is a way. If you look through the thing, you see I highlighted all the occasions of way. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. Now set right alongside that proverb, the next one that I have there for you, 12:28. Which says, in the way of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. Okay, there is no death. So it shows you that men and women and boys and girls need some kind of perception in order to choose the right way, right? The way of righteousness leads to life, but people often think that some different way seems like the right one. Okay, and so they choose badly. They choose badly because they choose on the basis of what feels best right now. There's a way that seems right. That way leads to death. There is a way that leads to life. Okay, there is a way of no death. People don't choose that way often. 15:24 is one of my favorite proverbs, actually. The way of life winds upward for the wise. Right, there's that sort of trail going up. The way of life winds upward for the wise that he may turn away from hell or from Sheol below. I think everyone would want that, don't you think? I mean, if they knew that that's where their path would, you know, that their path would keep them from hell, don't you think we would want? But so few people take heed to their way. That requires wisdom, right? It requires biblical wisdom to stay on the way that winds upward. Okay, that's what the verse says. It winds upward for the wise. Well, are we wise or are we foolish? 14:16 says, a wise man fears the consequences, and he departs from evil. Right? He turns his feet away. But a fool, the ESV I like better here, a fool is reckless. This one says a fool rages and is self-confident. And, okay, in other words, he just goes on ahead whatever way he feels like. He's reckless, and yet he's so very confident that this is the right way. Okay, a fool is reckless and yet is self-confident. Where a wise man, you know, he's trying to perceive and choose to go the right way. 15:10 says, harsh discipline or stern discipline is for him who, right, gets off the way. He leaves the way, and he who hates correction will die. Okay, so discipline comes first, right? The Lord has no pleasure in anybody dying, right? He does not want even the wicked to die. So discipline is what comes, it's what's called for when people, you know, get off the way. And discipline, of course, is what the Lord does, right? He is stern, but that sternness is to save your life, right? Because people are stiff-necked, though, they resist the correction. Okay, well, if you can't be corrected, he who hates correction will die, right? People are stiff-necked. That's what the next one says. 29:1, he who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed without remedy, right? Once you're destroyed, it's over. he who hates correction will die. So, you know, if we as a Christian family, if we individually come into a hardship, wake up. It's just the Lord's correction. Okay, it's the Lord trying to, you know, get you back on the right way. He wants us to be on the way that winds upwards to life. So discipline may be harsh, may be stern, but it's to keep you on the right way. And don't harden your neck against what the Lord is trying to do. Next one, 27:12 says, a prudent man foresees evil, bad consequences. He foresees evil consequences, which even means he foresees hell, right? He foresees Sheol, and so he takes measures to protect himself. That's what the prudent does. He foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple continue on going, and are punished. So John the Baptist said, flee from the wrath to come, right? He was out there preaching the judgment, right? The axe is already, it's ready to swing. It's at the root of the tree. Flee from the wrath to come. And so the wise take heed. They see the judgments coming, consequences are coming, and the prudent foresee, and they take wise measures, right? So that's got to be part of our preaching too, right? There is a judgment to come. Take refuge. 16:17, the next one says, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil, right? Get off that path. He who keeps his way or guards his way preserves his soul. So that depart is, you know, this is a traveling word, right? Which way are you going to go? Depart from foolishness, depart from vanity, from things that waste time, things that are fleeting. Okay, there's a famous rock song. It may be the world's most famous rock song that says, there's still time to change the road you're on, right? There's still time to change the road you're on. World famous song. It's good advice. Change the road you're on. But none of the four members of the band ever changed the road they're on. One of them is already dead. He died in 1980. He was 32 years old. Died of alcohol overdose. Okay. Well, you played on the song, but you missed the stairway. Right? Stairway to Heaven is the title of the song. Right? There's still time to change the road you're on. Well, how much time to change the road you're on do you think you're going to get? Depart from iniquity. Okay? He who guards his way preserves his soul. All right. 28:18 says, he who walks blamelessly will be saved. But he who is perverse in his ways will suddenly fall. Suddenly fall. Like I said, age 32, one day he's alive, the next day he's gone. End of the band, right? So this is one of the main reasons that God gives us a family. It's one of the main reasons he gives us a church family, is to get us on the road early, on the right road early, and help keep us on the way. Okay, you don't have to change your road you're on if you're on the right road. We're here together to hear from each other the instructions in the way of life. Parents have this responsibility to their kids. The whole church family has this responsibility to each other. I'd say children, but it's true of everybody. Children have to have regular instruction in the way formed into a personal habit. Okay, it's got to be a habit so that they don't drift off. Okay, so 19:18. Says, chasten your son while there is hope, and don't set your heart on his destruction. You get what he's saying? Okay, this is a way of saying, if you neglect your parental duty toward your children, you're dooming them. Okay, you don't set your heart on his destruction. Chasten him while he's malleable, while he's shapeable. Okay, if you don't do it while they're little, and in the formative stage of life, you find in time that there is a point at which your attempts to do it become futile. Okay, well, there's still time to change the road you're on, but how do you know later in life that you're going to want to change the road you're on? Okay, you're going to want to, the next one says, a wicked man hardens his face. Right, he hardens himself. As for the upright, he establishes his way. But I think the longer a person goes through life on a certain road, the harder it is to change. Okay, so chasten your son, your children, of course, while you still can. So here I gave you, this is a long passage, from chapter 23. It goes onto the back of the page. Okay, it's the advice about taking advice. Apply your heart to instruction. But these are words of habit. Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. Do not withhold correction from a child, right? Spank your kids, it says. If you beat him with a rod, well, we don't use a rod, but, okay, if you spank your kid, he won't die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell, okay? Because what you start at the beginning becomes a habit. 15, it says, my son, if your heart is wise, my heart, your father's heart, will rejoice. Indeed, I myself, my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things. Don't let your heart envy sinners. Right, that's a common trap, right? To envy those who are leading sinful lives. But be zealous for the fear of the Lord all day, for surely there is a hereafter. Your hope will not be cut off. Hear, my son, and be wise. Guide your heart in the way. A piece of advice here about how to choose your friends. Don't mix with wine bibbers. I didn't hear this word my whole life until I came to First Baptist. I said, is that a word for real? It's a King James word, right? Drunkards. Or with gluttonous eaters of meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Right? Laziness. Idleness ends up with poverty. Listen to your father who begot you, and don't despise your old ma, right? Don't despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also, get wisdom and instruction and understanding, for the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your mother and father be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. Of course, because your parents want to see their children walking on the path of life, right? You start them on it, you keep them on it. You go back to Deuteronomy. Why is that hero Israel so important, right? Talk about the commandments of God as you go out, as you come in, when you're, you know, when you wake up in the morning, when you lie down at night. It's inscribe them on the posts of your house. Talk about the commandments of the Lord always, right? Hear, O Israel. 19:16 says, "He who teach your children this, he who keeps the commandment keeps his soul." Right? God gave us commandments to keep because that's how you're going to guard your soul. He who is careless of his ways will die. The next one says, "Cease." This is talking about habit forming. Cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Okay. If you break godly habits, you eventually are going to drift off, right? It's like letting go of the steering wheel, okay? Your habits come from training, and training comes from repeated action. So this is why, you know, the week after week, regular Sunday school, you know, family devotions, that sort of thing, all the time habitual. Maybe you've heard this famous quote about sowing and reaping. It says, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Okay, you see this progress. First you think a thing, then you do what you think. Okay, once you do it once, you do it again. You do it again, it becomes a habit. Habits solidify, habits make the man. And you know that the Bible says the Lord is going to give to each man according to his ways, right? So if you stop listening, and young adults often do this, all right, this is what I did when I got out of my parents' home and I went off to college. Okay, that was the end of church for me for a good while. You wander off the way, right? And even full-grown adults do this, right? You stop going. Right, you don't see a person for a while. They get used to not being in church on Sunday. They stop listening. All right, cease listening to instruction. You will go astray. 21:16 has the end result. A man who wanders from the way of understanding will come to rest in the assembly of the dead. And you know where that is. 14:32 says, the wicked is banished in his wickedness, but the righteous has a refuge in his death. Okay, that was the good news at Irma's funeral, right? She has a refuge in her death. This is what the instruction in the Word of God is all about. It's about what's at the end of the road you're on. You sow, you reap. Here's a sowing and reaping one. 22:8. He who sows iniquity will reap sorrow, and the rod of his anger will fail. And the next one says, he who follows righteousness and mercy, look what he finds. He finds life, righteousness, and honor. So, you know, when you come to the end of your life, and who knows when that will be, maybe you'll live to be 92. Maybe you'll only live to be 48. How much time is there to change the road you're on? You just don't know how much time. What was important to you when you come to the end of your life? What was important to you and how you spent your time and how you, you know, wasted day after day or used day after day industriously? That's going to have a tremendous impact on what's going to meet you in the hereafter. So I have some about sort of different ways of life here. Some people are arrogant. They're self-seeking. They spend their whole life, you know, looking down their nose at the rest of the world. 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction. Or just flip it around the other way. Okay, destruction follows pride. Right? What's at the end? It's destruction. A haughty spirit goes before a fall. It says in Romans, to those who are self-seeking, wrath and indignation. Next one also, everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, and although they, even if they join forces, none of them will go unpunished, right? Unpunished talks about the hereafter. The next couple have to do with money, right? Some people spend their whole life living for money. Wisdom says this, don't overwork to be rich, right? Use your brain, right? Because of your own understanding, cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? Right, it's an illusion, isn't it? Riches will certainly make themselves wings and fly away like an eagle toward heaven. Okay, you spent your life on this way. You get to the end of the way, it's empty. Right, you have nothing. We'll wait for that. Next one says, there is one who makes himself rich. Yet, what does he have? He has nothing. There is one who makes himself poor, yet he has great riches. Great riches. Right? Riches, there's more than one kind of riches, right? It's about the way that you choose. Another thing, the world has become absolutely obsessed, of course, with sex and sex of all kinds. You know, it's as if it's the most important thing in life. You're finding people now identify their whole being about, you know, the kind of sex that they have and with whom and, you know, that sort of thing. The Bible's got different advice. The mouth of an immoral woman is a deep pit. He who is abhorred by the Lord will fall there. Right? That's punishment. 23:26, my son, give me your heart. Let your eyes observe my ways. A harlot is a deep pit, a trap, right? A trap. A seductress is a narrow well. If you fall in, you're not getting out. She lies in wait as for a victim, and she increases the unfaithful among men. Okay, there's ways to choose. You have to choose the way you're going to go. And now we're seeing, of course, the growth of violence, brutality, and so on, right? This is how people act when they don't get their way. The Word of God says that a violent man entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that's not good, right? It's learned behavior, okay? People get violent. They start to, you know, sign up other people to do the same sort of thing. You raise a mob. You make people angry, right? It's a way that leads to death. Violence is, you know, it's kids are exposed to violence from the youngest age now, right? Violent games, violent movies, you know, it's all about blood. Is it any wonder that there's violence in the streets now? Okay, because you sow a thought, you reap an action. Okay, you're setting out on a bad way. Next one says, the violence of the wicked will destroy them because they refuse to do justice. Right? It destroys them. It destroys them. So when there's so many paths you can go by, right? The song says there are two paths you can go by. I say there's more than two. All these different paths lead to destruction. So many people stumble and fall. It takes, like I said, it takes effort. It takes repeated, regular reminders. It takes frequent help to stay on the narrow path. And of course, we are our brother's keepers. We have to keep each other on the narrow path, right? You can't go it alone, right? You need people in your life. Okay, that's why habit forming, frequently assemble ourselves in the presence of the Lord and the, you know, in the spirit of the Lord, and have His Word open. Okay, because 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. You know this one. The righteous run into it. They're safe, right? They're safe. We worship the Lord frequently, right? We make it a habit. Make it a regular part of life. We incline our ear to His commandments. We do it regularly. We receive advice. We exchange advice. That's what's going to preserve us. Okay, and it's like having the map. You know, we're reading the signposts. We're following. Are we going the right way? This is, you know, we're keeping ourselves on track and you know, comparing what we're doing in our own life with what we see here in the guide. Like, we had an excellent text for the men's Sunday school class about James and John, you know, asking, could they have the specialist places in heaven? And the Lord says, well, basically it depends on the way you're going to go, doesn't it? Okay, so He's trying to keep us, you know, the Bible says all these tests, these correctives and so on. God is trying to keep us on the right way. If we do receive correction or fall into various trials, right, what are we supposed to do? Rejoice, right? It's because we know it's the hand of the Lord, you know, keeping us from going off one way or the other. Okay, He's just doing what, He's taking His own advice about raising children, right? Chasten your children, keep them on the right path, keep them from hell, right? Correct your sons and daughters while there's still hope, save them from destruction, right? So it's the way that winds upward to life, okay? So like James said, count all joy when you fall into various trials, right? It's the Lord. He's trying to make an adult out of you. Okay, He's going for purification. And we talked about this morning, right? God's will for us is not luxury and ease of life. It's purification. So if a trial comes, accept it. Figure out how you're going to pass it. Okay, and you know how the Bible says you have to lay aside some things. There's a lot of things, I think, earthly loves and so on that steal our attention. So, you know, we need to be able to focus and set our sights on the way that leads upward to life. Okay, so this is the last one for tonight here. It's a little paragraph from Proverbs 22. Final advice, I guess, for the year as far as going for Proverbs. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. Apply your heart to my knowledge, for it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips. Right, the commandments, the words of the wise. Let them all be fixed upon your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord Jehovah. I have instructed you today, even you. Have I not written to you excellent things of counsel and knowledge, that I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth, so that you may answer with words of truth to those who send to you? Okay, it's like Paul says to Timothy, you'll save both yourself and your hearers, right? If you fix your heart on the word of God, okay? I mean, that's the end of our study of Proverbs, at least for now, but the point has to be taken very, very seriously, right? Solomon shouts it at us loud and clear. Stay faithful in your Bible reading. Stay faithful in your self-discipline. Stay faithful in your attendance in the assembly. Stay faithful in prayer. Okay, it's a matter of habit forming. Form those habits and keep them, right? And Paul says to Timothy, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So let's pray and we'll be finished. All right, Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for your faithfulness to us, Lord, your kindness to us in providing us our roadmap, our instructions, our commandments, our guidance. Lord, thank you that you have communicated the way that winds upward to us. We pray, Lord, that you'd keep us faithful, help us to be searching our hearts, to be discarding things that are foolish according to your word, Lord. Let's compare ourselves to what we see in your word. Make us like Jesus Christ. Make us like the most faithful disciples. We simply ask you, Lord God, to watch over and guard our little church family. I thank you, Lord, for each precious soul that you've brought into these doors, that you brought into my life. I pray, Lord, for the family of those who grieve, who have lost a loved one. I pray, Lord, for those that are on the verge of losing a loved one. I pray for my friend Mark, Lord, that his path would lead him to you. And Father, I just thank you that that we have your word and that we have the hope in Jesus Christ that you've given to us. And I pray in his name, amen.